Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Do you know of any animals that are extinct? That means that these animals might have lived on Earth a long or not so long time ago, but have since died off. Dinosaurs, for instance, are extinct, and you know about the Tyrannosaurus Rex, Triceratops, and Velociraptor. What other extinct animals do you know about? Maybe woolly mammoths, or saber-toothed tigers, or the dodo bird? And if all of these animals are extinct, then how do you know about them? It's not like you're seeing them at the local zoo, after all. It can be sad to realize that these animals aren't on the Earth anymore. But one amazing thing about science is that there are scientists whose jobs are all about learning more about extinct creatures. Today, we're going to be talking to one of those scientists and learning about her favorite extinct animal. To imagine this animal, I want you to think of a manatee. A big, gentle, gray sea animal with a round, whiskery face, tiny eyes, and a wide, paddle-shaped tail that glides slowly through the water.
We usually start with manatees, and they've probably heard of manatees at least. And then if you shift over to talking about a 30-foot-long manatee, they get a little freaked out. But, you know, it's an interesting animal, so most people are interested to hear about it.
This is Lorelei Creerar. When we had this conversation, she was a scientist and professor at George Mason University. And she studied aquatic ecology and forensic science to learn more about this 30-foot-long animal known as Steller's sea cow. 30 feet is as long as a school bus. This gigantic sea cow was discovered and observed by a German naturalist and explorer named Georg Steller in the 1740s, nearly 300 years ago.
This guy was a fanatic, I think, is the best way to describe him, and really about anything that he did. He definitely gave us the only picture that we ever will have, I think, of the Steller's sea cow.
Georg Steller went on several expeditions to the uncharted waters between Eastern Russia and North America. On these expeditions, the ship he was on faced a lot of challenges.
Their ship unfortunately ran into Bering Island and shipwrecked. So they spent the winter on this island in the North Pacific. I can't even begin to imagine how frightening that was for a crew of people who had no houses, no heat, no way to make heat. And most of them had scurvy, and, you know, it was ugly.
During this ugly period, stuck on an island, Steller took time to observe the wildlife around him.
He described for the first time four marine mammals that he found up there on Bering Island, including the incredibly valuable sea otter, and probably was the sole cause of people coming out to Bering Island to catch the sea otter for the fur. He would go out and make notes on everything that he found on Bering Island. He collected up tons of specimens. He actually caught and stuffed a baby sea cow, but there was no room to bring it back on the boat when they came back. So we have lost that specimen, unfortunately.
Even if Steller wasn't able to bring back the stuffed baby sea cow, he was able to bring back his descriptions and observations that linked the sea cow to a whole family of animals called Sirenians.
Sirenians in general are pretty odd animals. To a group. Sirenians are the animals like manatees, and we also have dugongs left, which are out in Australia. And they once were a huge, huge family. They're related to elephants and a little animal called a hyrax.
Huh, it's kind of funny to think of manatees and sea cows as water elephants.
The reason they're called Sirenians is because of Christopher Columbus, actually. When he got to the Dominican Republic, he actually wrote a little piece in his journal about seeing the mermaids in the river there. And I love his statement, because his statement is, "They are not nearly half so beautiful as I have been told."
So Christopher Columbus thought that the manatees were mermaids? That's kind of silly. But it really is the reason that this whole group of creatures are called Sirenians, like sirens, another word for mermaid. I guess that mermaid tails and Cyrenian's tails do look alike. Steller, on the other hand, didn't think that his sea cows were mermaids.
He called it the Great Northern Manatee. It was the name he gave it. But they eventually did call it a sea cow for him because, of course, he's the only person, the only scientist who really described that animal. So after he died, they named it for him.
Steller ended up being the only scientist who got to observe the Steller sea cow in real life, because as more and more people went to the Bering Sea to hunt for sea otter pelts, they began to eat so many sea cows that the population couldn't keep up.
It took 27 years for European people to eat them to extinction. The last sea cow, we think, was gone by 1768. And that was one of the things that Steller said in one of his letters to the Russian Science Academy. He said, if people keep killing the sea cows as fast as they are, then they're going to be gone. And he was right.
That is so sad. But if Steller's sea cows have been extinct for so long, then how is Lorelei studying the species? The answer is through scientific detective work and sea cow bones.
All of my bones, as far as we can tell, come from St. Lawrence Island, which is up much, much closer to Alaska on our side of the North Pacific. Some of my bones, the oldest one, I think, that we had dated was around 2,500 years old. So, you know, I saw that and I was like, holy mackerel, we got DNA out of a 2,500-year-old bone? I felt pretty good about that.
Lorelei is able to study old Steller sea cow bones and extract DNA to learn more about the sea cows, even if they're extinct. DNA contains important genetic information that teaches us how Steller sea cows are similar to other Cyrenians, what the sea cows ate, how big they actually were, and even how they adapted to live in cold waters. To collect this DNA, Lorelei drills into the bones for samples.
These guys had solid bones. They're called pachyosteotic bones, and they don't have any marrow canal in them at all. So the bone stays bone-like remarkably well for a long time. We do drill as much into the center of the bone as we can, if possible, depending on how big our samples are. I have a room somewhere filled with bones. A lot of our sample bones are in my lab right now because one of my very favorite students has come back as a graduate student, and he's busy working on a project right now in my lab, so that's kind of cool. But I have bones downstairs on my desk, and I have, you know, bits and pieces of little things here and there. Most of my skulls are here at the house because we were doing a skull lab for my students.
Lorelei has so many bones because they are full of important information that helps her learn more and more about the extinct Steller's sea cows. And while she seems to have plenty of bones now, at one point they were a lot harder to come by.
I was having a hard time getting samples at the beginning of my research, and one day my brother called me up and he said, I'm standing in front of a box of Steller's sea cow bone. And I, of course, had a small heart attack. And he said, do you want any? And I was like, well, the whole box. He said, well, how about we start with one piece? This bone is a beautiful material. When you looked at it, you would think you were looking at a highly polished oak or something like that. It's just very, very pretty when it gets polished. And my brother is actually, in his spare time, he's a blacksmith, so he makes high-end knives and things like that, and he's put Steller sea cow handles on them. Bone is particularly good, apparently, for knife handles, and Steller sea cow bone is even better because it's totally solid. So you can take the rib and you can hack it up into lots of pieces and make lots of handles out of it. There's a huge blade show in Atlanta every year, and lots of people who sell knife handle material at the show would sell Steller's sea cow bone. And we've got about 210 different samples at this point. And most of the samples that I have came from the blade show. So they're maybe 8 or 10 inch pieces of rib. So we can do whatever we want to them and take tons of samples, and it won't matter because we'll never make a dent in them.
Wow, talk about finding scientific breakthroughs in unexpected places. Lorelei is able to uncover some of the mysteries surrounding Steller's animal observations from the 1700s, but even with all we've been able to learn, there are still some mysteries that remain difficult to solve. Mysteries beyond sea cows. For instance, Steller described something that he called a sea monkey, and modern scientists still don't know what animal he could be referring to.
I do not know what that was. Some people say it was a fur seal. I disagree with that because Steller was too good a naturalist to mistake that animal for a fur seal and not call it a fur seal. He knew what the fur seal looked like. He had met one not too long before. So it wasn't a fur seal. It wasn't anything that we know of that's still existing out there now. What it was, I don't know. The description of the sea monkey is just bizarre. It's mainly just called Steller's sea monkey, and I think that's probably what it's going to end up. It looks very simian in nature. It doesn't look like a seal to me. It doesn't look like any kind of whale or anything else that you'd expect to find in the ocean. It looks like a water monkey. He observes these things more than once, sometimes for several hours. He's very, very careful in everything he does, and so I can't believe that he would have mistaken it.
What a fascinating mystery. I guess scientists need to be on the lookout for Steller's sea monkeys, or at least some kind of evidence of their existence.
People ask you, who would you meet if they were dead or alive, if you could meet anybody? You can probably imagine that my statement would be Steller. Absolutely.
And I'm sure that Lorelei would love to meet a Steller sea cow as well. Even though it is sad that some animals are extinct, I think that it's amazing that scientists are still able to uncover new information about them. Lorelei's investigation into Steller sea cows teaches us that we can learn from creatures of the past the same way we learn from animals that we see at the zoo, all while experiencing the same sense of wonder.
Steller's sea cow was like a giant manatee, floating 30 feet long in the northern sea. Even if I can't meet one today, sea cow bones help me learn more anyways.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.